All right, there's been so much talk about CJ West. There's been so much talk about Mykel Williams. Both of them looking really, really impressive to begin 49ers training camp. And now I sense that there's a little bit of worry, at least given the information that we have when we relatively compare some of these defensive linemen. There seems to be a little bit of worry amongst 49ers fans about Alfred Collins, the second round pick, the big defensive tackle out of Texas. I say that's the big and tall 49ers bet because he's the tallest of all these defensive linemen. Probably what, 6'6"? I think he's officially listed at 6'5", but he's taller than me. So I'm going to say 6'6", 332 pounds for Alfred Collins. And I will say that he hasn't popped off the screen the same way that CJ West has popped off the screen so far at practice. He hadn't popped off the screen the same way that Mykel Williams has popped off the screen, where he destabilizes Trent Williams, and Trent Williams talks about how much of a pain it is to block him. I will say that Alfred Collins has not brought that yet for the 49ers, but I will also say that we're only two padded practices into this thing. And I always remember what Nick Bosa said on the second or third day of camp about both Alfred Collins and Mykel Williams. And I think it's so, so important to remember this, because patience seems to be a lost art. And we're watching practice right now. We're watching the initial foray into the NFL for somebody like Alfred Collins. Listen to Nick Bosa on the second day of 49ers practice.
Mykel looked really good. He's very physical. He's got a big reach, so I think he just needs to hone in, obviously, his first day on his aiming points and trusting the system. I think him and Alfred are coming from different styles, so but both of them have immense talent, so it'll be fun to watch them grow.
So Nick Bosa himself, with his economy of words, both Mykel Williams and Alfred Collins are coming from different styles, but both have immense talent. Bosa got into a slight specific there. He talked about aiming points. I think that we need to remember that not all defensive line play is the same as far as strategy and as far as approach goes. There are different fronts. Obviously, there's the 4-3 front. There's a 3-4 front, but there's different variations of defenses. Texas, where Alfred Collins played his college ball, runs a 4-2-5. The 49ers obviously run the four-man front with the wide nine. San Francisco plays a super attacking style defense, and they have very specific aim points for their defensive linemen. These are different than the aim points that Mykel Williams and Alfred Collins were asked to take in college. So with the game moving really fast, you've got to recalibrate on the fly. So much of the NFL draft and just NFL talent acquisition in general is a projection. How well do you think that particular player can fit in your scheme? Somebody like Alfred Collins, with the height that he brings to the table, so it's a higher center of gravity, but it's somebody that's been able to play plenty low to dominate college competition. Somebody like Alfred Collins is definitely destined for the three technique defensive tackle position of the 49ers. So just, you know, for those of you who are uninitiated in defensive line nuances, you've got your two defensive ends and they're going to play a different technique, which is a higher number. So you could talk a 5 technique. You'd even talk the 9 technique. That's why they call it the wide nine. It can go all the way out to with the 49ers. I mean, they're stretching past the hash marks. They're getting defensive ends as much of a hoop to run around offensive tackles as possible. The interior defensive tackles are either going to be in the base formation that I'm talking about, the one technique or the three technique. The one technique is going to be more of your nose tackle. He's going to be asked to absorb double teams. And your three technique, well, that's going to be a true pass rushing defensive tackle. He's going to be asked to win. He's going to be asked to attack. He's going to be asked to disrupt the defensive backfield. The 49ers picked CJ West out of Indiana in the fourth round. He's very clearly a one technique nose tackle type of player to play in. So both he and Alfred Collins are defensive tackles, but these are different types of defensive tackles. Meanwhile, Collins We can see him fitting into the same mold of DeForest Buckner, of a Javon Kinlaw. The 49ers obviously drafted Javon Kinlaw, trying to replace DeForest Buckner specifically at the three technique position. Now, it's worth noting that given the complexities of the modern game, guys are rarely going to stay at their home position. Defensive lines are going to have to slide to take offensive permutations into account. There's going to be some mayhem pre-snap. There's obviously going to be a lot of mayhem post-snap. There's a reason why I call football organized chaos. I wish I could find my notebook. I found a notebook at Staples or wherever before I went before training camp, and it says organized chaos on it. And I said, oh, this is perfect. This is going to be my notebook for camp, because that's exactly what describes football. So the three technique is going to have to be able to execute some of the duties of the one technique, and the one technique is going to have to execute some of the duties of the three technique. And we talk so much about the versatility of the 49ers defensive line and what Chris Kocurek asks from that unit. Defensive ends are sliding in to play defensive tackle, right? Mykel Williams played along the entire defensive line at Georgia. Alfred Collins wasn't quite as versatile. It's a bigger, heavier body, but I can tell you he's got those pillars of granite for calves. And he's got the wingspan. I talk about it a lot. People give me a hard time. David, you're always talking about wingspan. Well, the reason I talk about it is because it's important. The wingspan is over 7 feet long for Alfred Collins. So anyway, there's this relatively based idea that Alfred, there's something wrong with Alfred Collins right now, because he hasn't popped off the screen in one-on-ones the same way that CJ West has. I will open with this and say that what CJ West showed us at the first padded practice earlier this week is not normal. And I talked to a lot of people who know defensive line play well. They are shocked that CJ West fell to the fourth round. This was a polished player at Indiana. Teams didn't want to run against Indiana. So the fact that he's come in with his violent hands and with his pushback power, I mean, he's looking like a multi-year vet. I think it's surprising people who viewed him as a fourth round pick and therefore expected a lot of developmental time. But I don't think it's surprising the 49ers, all while I have to underscore that it's not usual. What CJ West is doing right now, I think, is special early on. Now, does he need polish? Of course. Is he going to have to develop pass rush counter moves? Of course. Is it nice that he's already shown off a swim move a couple times, so it's not all bull rush? Yes, that's also good. So two thumbs up. Everything that CJ West has done in those one-on-one drills has created real, tangible, truthful reason for excitement. Meanwhile, Mykel Williams, with the length that he has also brought to the table and the length, the power, we've seen him give Trent Williams some trouble already. That's also been great. With Alfred Collins, I think you have a player because he's even taller than Mykel Williams. He's got even more range than Mykel Williams. I think you've got a player that, you know, it's hard to say somebody's got more upside than Mykel. Mykel won in the first round, but they're playing different positions, so I guess it's an apples and oranges thing. The upside of Alfred Collins is really, really obvious when you see him in person. But whenever you see a defensive lineman, especially a guy on the interior, that is that tall, I automatically tell myself, okay, it's going to take this guy some period to acclimate to the NFL level, where opposing offensive guards, this is a much higher level than college, they're really good at getting under your pads. They're really good at establishing that lower point of leverage. Alfred Collins, he's got a lot of muscle. He's got a lot of body to work with, and he's getting used to working with it at the NFL level. This whole culture of instant gratification that we see right now expects everybody to go out and dominate in the very first practice. And I could tell you that CJ West probably hasn't helped the cause of fan expectations, because you see the fourth round pick, who's playing a totally different position than Alfred Collins. He's playing that one technique. You see him flashing already and you say, well, okay, well, where's Alfred? He went in the second round. These guys are coming at this along a completely different avenue. CJ West is a fire hydrant, low center of gravity. The strength is packed in. It's ready to go against those NFL offensive linemen who already have better technique, who already stay lower to the ground. Somebody like Alfred Collins, It's a little bit of an adjustment period, and it's an adjustment period schematically for the 49ers. So what I will say is that, you know, trying to say that Alfred Collins is struggling through two padded practices is absolutely silly, because the guy is bringing a 6'6", 332-pound frame, moving from the Texas 4.25 into the Chris Kocurek wide nine, learning different aim points, learning a different attacking style up front, getting used to the entire NFL level. And he had to do all this without participating in OTAs because he had the calf issue that he suffered at his pro day. So right now we are, you know, Alfred Collins' development runway, say that it's 100 yards long, say that a plane, you know, will take off over a certain length of runway. We are probably about 4% into that developmental runway at training camp right now. Like the vast, vast majority of this still has to happen. And until the pads came on a couple practices ago, it was impossible to draw any conclusions at all. So we've got two practices. CJ West went out and showed off that fire hydrant strength in that first padded practices. In that first padded practice, Mykel Williams was able to leave his mark on the team drills. And now we're going to wait for the great awakening from Alfred Collins. And I do think that it is going to come. What I see when I see him practicing, and I watch some of the one-on-ones, is I see a player working against different level competition for the first time. Because Texas played at the highest level of college football, but the NFL is going to be a whole different beast as far as the quickness of the offensive linemen and the, you know, everything, the strength, the quickness. I see a player getting used to the different parameters that he's going to be dealing with and learning how to process all this new schematic stuff that's coming at him with the technical know-how of how to distribute his strength and distribute his physical advantages against these new offensive linemen at the pro level. That's what I see from Alfred Collins. So, you know, watching him at Texas, they allowed 2.9 yards per carry when Alfred Collins was on the field. He was a bona fide run stopper for Texas, and the 49ers hope that they can develop him into a premium pass rusher at this level. And they think that he's got the raw materials to be able to do that with his height. Again, the arm length to keep the offensive lineman disengaged. And I think his speed, I think that he could also start picking up a lot of grass with the big strides that he has. So that's something that DeForest Buckner was obviously able to do as a tall defensive tackle as well. But where Alfred Collins has already proven that he can corral his size and use it as a great weapon in his favor is against the run. The way that he shed it blocks at Texas was downright impressive. It was really, really hard to even get through to this guy with a double team. And there's a reason why Texas has been a dominant team, because they've got a lot of horses. And Alfred Collins was definitely one of those horses up front. One thing that I think is really promising about Alfred Collins on his tape, and I think that this is something that's going to start showing up as he gets time to acclimate to the speed of the NFL game, is definitely something you're not doing early on if your head is spinning at the NFL level. He broke up 7 passes last year. So we can talk all we want about the run defense and shedding of blocks with the long arms for Alfred Collins, the disruption that he's created inside. And then obviously he can corral those running backs with his length and obviously his explosiveness. That's why he was a second round pick in the NFL. We can talk all day about the run defense, and that's what the 49ers set out to do first with their defensive line picks. They're obviously all run defense first guys. Mykel with the edge, and CJ West with what he did at Indiana, Alfred with what he did at Texas. I put it up there on the screen. So sure, we can talk about that until the cows come home. But what he was able to do when quarterbacks kept the football and then decided to throw last season at Texas, as far as measuring a guy's awareness, football IQ, and ability to grow into something even greater than that, I thought that Alfred Collins' 7 pass breakups last year were very, very telling. Because you're not batting down a pass as a defensive lineman unless you understand the situation that you're in, unless you're grasping what's happening around you, unless you're taming the organized chaos around you and then reaching your arm up and knocking the ball out of the air. I mean, it takes more than hand-eye coordination. It takes real good spatial awareness and control over who's trying to block you. Because if you're just getting swallowed by the block, if you're just getting lost at a double team, then you're not getting your hand up to knock down a pass. He did that 7 times for Texas last year. For comparison, Jahdae Barron, first round pick, cornerback for the Longhorns, won the Jim Thorpe Award, goes to the nation's best cornerback in college football, best DB. Jahdae Barron had 8 pass breakups last year, and he actually is a pass defender. Like, that's his main job. For Alfred Collins, that was kind of a secondary job, right? This is a run stopper first, but he batted down 7 passes at the line of scrimmage, almost as many as Jahdae Barron. So that tells you, we know that the guy is prodigious physically, and I think that we know that he can play smart football and he can play within himself against the highest level college competition. That's why somebody like Nick Bosa goes out and says that this guy's talent is immense, because it obviously is. But you just have to give him some time, because he's going to have to figure out how to use that long body at a new level, at the NFL level. And that's what training camp is for. It's a good thing that the 49ers, right now it's July 30th. They've got another month of all this before, even a month plus before the regular season starts. Can Alfred Collins start week 1? And, you know, if I had to handicap this, I would say that CJ West is on a good track to start week 1. I think that's a question a lot of people have had, because Mykel Williams, of course, assuming that he's healthy, Mykel Williams is going to start opposite Nick Bosa. Robert Saleh confirmed as much the other day. But what about Alfred? Is that going to be, you know, here, we could even open up my depth chart to visualize what the ideal 49ers defensive line is going to look like once the regular season rolls around. Here you go. I'm going to zoom in on the defense. You've got, this is the idealized version of the 49ers defensive line. It's not what it is right now, and we're still getting a feel for what the exact rotation looks at this very moment. But remember that the 49ers hope that this will change, that this will be a living, breathing thing. The idealized version is Bosa on one edge, Mykel Williams on the other, CJ West at the 1 technique, and Alfred Collins at the 3 technique in those base situations. But, and maybe let me flip these two guys around, because this was technically incorrect. I think that it's more likely right now that the week 1 starter is Kevin Givens, and then Alfred Collins works in as part of the 8-man rotation, and then ultimately becomes the starter at some point over the course of the 2025 season. But Givens, I mean, you're talking about floor and ceiling right now, right? Kevin Givens is going to give you a higher floor than Alfred Collins while Alfred Collins is learning the ropes at the NFL level. Meanwhile, Alfred Collins is going to give you a much higher ceiling than Kevin Givens, somebody who's been around since 2019. So I think you know exactly what Kevin Givens is going to give you. So the 49ers made sure to re-sign Givens on that qualifying veteran offer this offseason. They kept his cap hit lower than his salary. You can find that exception with certain players, and the 49ers were able to give that kind of contract to Kevin Givens. He's been a trusted agent since 2019. He's working with the ones now. Ideally, Kevin Givens is your rotational piece at defensive tackle, and Alfred Collins is your starter. But the 49ers have the luxury of working Alfred Collins into that mix. The one obvious slam dunk at the top of the rotation is Mykel Williams, and we've already seen him give Trent Williams some trouble. And I think that the start of what we've seen from CJ West means that if he can corral any sort of finesse at this NFL level into his game over the next month, he could be the starter in front of Jordan Elliott. So I think that Alfred Collins is right where the 49ers expected him to be at this point. You know, it's, there's going to be a lot of comparison between these defensive linemen, but I think that you're inherently looking at apples and oranges, and you're oversimplifying it if you're saying that CJ West and Alfred Collins are both defensive tackles, so that they should be moving along at the exact same rate. They are different body builds. They're different techniques of defensive tackle, different backgrounds as far as where they played. CJ West has played in multiple systems over the course of his college career, first at Kent State, then he moved to Indiana, transformed the run defense over there from the 1 technique position. Collins was in 1 program in that 4-2-5 at Texas. Certain specific aim points for Alfred Collins, kind of like Mykel Williams had certain duties as the jack that they called him at Georgia, where he was lined up all over the formation. Those guys have to get used to what the 49ers are doing And that is exactly what practice is for. All right, this is our first nighttime show in a little bit. We're going to open it up to a Q&A in just a few minutes. A couple other pieces of news. Colton McKivitz had a nice interview with Matt Maiocco where Colton said that he wants to be a Pro Bowler in 2025. And that left a lot of people all up in arms because there's this narrative, stereotype, whatever you want to call it, that Colton McKivitz isn't any good. In 2023, I would agree with you, but I also believe that players can develop. This is not a static thing. And guess what? These are percentile scores. Blue is above average and red is below average. So you want to be darker blue. You don't want to be darker red. These are percentile scores from 2024. Last year, Colton McKivitz was an above average pass blocker. He actually scored lower in run block percentile. So he's better than 42% of right tackles or tackles in general run blocking, but he was better than more than half of tackles in the pass blocking game. Consider that in 2023, this number, this 56 right here for Colton McKivitz, the 56th percentile pass blocker, was a 4. He was better than only 4% of pass blockers in 2023. He improved from the 4th percentile to the 56th percentile in just 1 year. So who's to say that Colton McKivitz cannot improve even more from 2024 to 2025? That's sort of how sports work. You build confidence. You get reps, you work on your craft, you get better. That's why we talk about veterans being more ready-made options than rookies, because the veterans have had that time. Colton had that full year to start in 2023, and then he took the lessons that he learned, and there were some difficult ones that he learned in 2023, some difficult ones that he learned before then when he was filling in for Trent Williams, namely in the NFC Championship game of that 2021 season. But he took those lessons and he applied them and he got better in 2024. And I think there's every reason to think that he can get even better in 2025. Now, he told Matt Maiocco that he wants to be a Pro Bowler, and I don't find any problem with a professional athlete shooting for the stars. I think it's the mentality that you have to have. If you say, okay, I just want to be a decent player. I want to be a 50th percentile guy. I want to be mediocre when you run out there. Your job is going to get taken before week two in the NFL. You have to be shooting for the very top. I think the NFL is a league of excellence. These are the best players in the world. And the fact that Colton McKivitz said that about his play suggests that he is wired the right way. Mike is sending me some draft stuff. The 2020 draft. Yeah, McKivitz was in that 2020 draft. Javon Kinlaw and Brandon Ayuk in the first round. The very next pick, because the 49ers didn't have one in 2, 3, or 4, was Colton McKivitz in the 5th round. Then Charlie Werner was the tight end in the 6th. And then Jawan Jennings went in the 7th round. Now, remember that neither McKivitz nor Jennings played through their initial rookie contract, because Jennings got cut and re-signed to the practice squad right away in 2020. McKivitz didn't make the team his second year in 2021 and got reassigned to the practice squad. But then he made his way back up to the active roster, turned into a second contract player. He and Jawan Jennings both re-signed with the 49ers last offseason. One could argue that Colton should have signed for more just because he was an offensive tackle, but he was coming off of poor 2023 season. The numbers that he put up in 2024, the blocking that he showed there, it was so much better than 2023 that Kyle Shanahan has said that this guy probably deserves a more lucrative contract. So it's going to be very interesting to see Colton McKivitz and if he can continue to blossom moving forward here into this 2025 season. There's another piece of news. This is, I've noticed this at practice. I'll tell you guys a little bit about it. This started to make some headlines with the aggregators today. Trent Williams and Nick Bosa are frustrating each other. And that is great. This is exactly what you want to hear if you're following the 49ers. That means that there is good competition between a couple players who will, well, Williams for sure. If Bosa continues on his trajectory, he also will end up in the Hall of Fame. You guys remember a couple years ago, I wrote an article from the 49ers locker room, and it was about the summit, like the meetings that Trent Williams and Nick Bosa have at Trent's locker after every single game. Like Nick, even though they're on opposite ends of the locker room, Nick will walk across all the way to Trent's stall. He'll pull up a chair. They'll sit down and they'll just talk shop about the game. And, you know, this was in 2023 when I wrote this piece. I first noticed it in 2022. Because the locker room wasn't open in 2021. It reopened in 2022. And this was something that really, really stood out to me. But that these guys, two all pros, you know, before showering or anything, like they had to go discuss the game while it was still fresh. They weren't too big for this. It wasn't like they were clocking out as soon as the final gun sounded. These two guys would sit down at Trent's locker and just start talking shop. And then over the course of the season, more and more players would see what was going on. They would see these two great football minds talking, and they'd pull up a chair as well. Like Kerry Hyder had the locker right next door. One time I was kind of hovering by there, and Christian McCaffrey came in and talked for a little bit. I think that George Kittle might have butted his head in a couple times, but I think Kittle normally left those guys alone to talk about everything they had to talk about following the game. So, you know, I hate using the term iron sharpens iron. I know that it's a big coaching cliche, but there's definitely been that level of and that type of camaraderie in the 49ers locker room amongst really, really good players for quite some time now. Whenever training camp rolls around, we get a chance to see Trent Williams and Nick Bosa take live reps against each other. And what happened in one-on-ones the other day was very noteworthy. They went two reps. Bosa won one. Trent Williams won the next one. Bosa seemed to kind of slip on that second one, wasn't able to get around Trent Williams. They were only supposed to have two reps against each other. Nick said, no, we're going a third time. And Nick won that third time. Nick said, I need a third rep against Trent Williams. And they lined up and they went after it again. And then they go after each other in these team drills. And that's where I think that we've seen some of the frustration from Trent Williams. I mean, if you can, this is arguably the greatest offensive lineman of all time. I think he looks like he's in fantastic shape. I think he's cut some weight. I can't wait to talk to Trent about what he did to get his body ready for this season. But if once camp starts hitting August and you start moving into the dog days, if you can get star players so involved that there's frustration showing out on the field because they're so competitive and they're working to refine their game against the best of the best, that is the sign of a good competitive training camp. And guess what the 49ers didn't have last year? No Trent Williams at training camp. He was holding out up until the very end of August. So they didn't get these Bosa-Trent Williams battles. And one of the great benefits of having a team that has so many star players is theoretically you have a training camp where these star players can compete against each other, where they can hone their craft, working against competition that's probably going to be better than the competition that they face on Sundays in the fall. So I really, really enjoyed the competitive tenor of these 49ers practices. And yes, I think there's been some real competition between Nick Bosa and Trent Williams. And I think it's going to, you know, carry some productive vibes over into the season when Nick Bosa walks across the locker room, pulls up a chair, and sits next to Trent Williams after these games. I think that that's a huge thing for the 49ers. I think it's part of the culture that they've built with so many star players. And I think that they're fully enjoying the fruits of that culture, this training camp, because everybody's there and everybody's participating. Even Juwan Jennings, even though he wants a new contract, he's there and he's participating. He's bringing that competitive flair. There was the shoving match with Diamante Lenore the other day. That's how a team gets better. You practice, and it has to be competitive, and there have to be some struggles. And I could loop this all the way back around to Alfred Collins. He's going to have to work through the challenge at the NFL level. It's not always going to be pretty. I don't think it's always going to be pretty for C.J. West and Mykal Williams. I think that they outperformed what you would expect a normal rookie to look like over the course of their first two, or in the case of Mykal Williams, his first padded practice. He missed the second one with the ankle. But just because that happens once doesn't mean that it's going to happen throughout all of next week. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen tomorrow. The NFL is a league where everybody is a good enough athlete to flash a couple times. But then you have to start truly mastering the intricacies, the technical aspect of the game, the hand placement, the angles that you're taking, the aim points. you have to know what you're doing, because everybody's a good athlete. Again, everybody's big and strong. You have to know what you're doing to consistently win. And can these guys, starting with Williams, continuing with Collins, continuing with CJ West, can these guys show that they can consistently win over a longer stretch of time? That's the ultimate goal. It's not looking good in a couple practices. The ultimate goal is consistency, and that's what the 49ers are going to be working on over the course of the next week. All right, I've talked 30 minutes about defensive and offensive line play. That was fun, but now it's time to answer a few questions. This gives me a little bit of a break from talking. Liam has a great point. Do the 49ers expect to get 11 straight starters to immediately contribute right out of the draft? The fact that they have two promising prospects is impressive enough. And I would say that Alfred Collins is promising already as well. I just don't think that he's as polished, which I didn't expect, because I thought that CJ West, it's easier for the shorter, stouter guy who's relying on just pure violence moving forward and has that in a compact frame. It's going to be easier for him to look polished and promising right away. The taller guy is going to have to find a way to use his body to his advantage at a different level of football. The leverage is different. The speed is different at the NFL level. You just got to be patient. You got to give this kind of, you have to give a guy like Alfred Collins some time. And you just look at his frame and you say, okay, this guy can be really good. And you could look at the highlight tape and you could look at the way that Texas dominated the run when he was on the field. You say, this guy can be pretty good. 49ers just need to give him some time. And I think that they have that time with Kevin Givens and his higher floor still on this roster. Mike would throw Upton Stout into the promising group. I would still include Marquise Siegel in the promising group. And the guy runs a 4.36, 4.37, 40. Just like Alfred Collins, he wasn't there at OTAs because of an injury. So he didn't have a chance to develop any of that polish during OTAs, at least the on-field polish. But he still has these amazing measurables, and you can't take away the film that he put up in college. Let's just wait and see. Let's give this a month or two. Even Malik Mustafa, who ended up starting for the 49ers at safety last year, didn't start week one. It took him a while to work into the 49ers rotation. So it's just way too early to make these conclusive judgments right now. This is all part of a longer process. Again, we're like 4% of the way into this thing. I think people need to keep that perspective on a day in, day out basis. Any update on Jacob Cowing? Jake is probably going to be back, not this coming week, but the week after that, when the 49ers head to Vegas to play the Raiders. John says that Alfred will be good against the run first, developing in time with pass rush. I agree with that. I think that run defense is what comes most naturally to all of these picks. And I think that the pass rush is what's going to have to develop over time. I think with Michael, you give him a head start by running the packages where he could run and pass rush against the inside, against the guards, because then his arm length is a truly massive advantage. I think Alfred Collins may have that right from the get-go, but he's going to, again, you have to learn how to use your body weight. You have to learn your aiming points. So there's so many different things. You have to also develop a trust of the teammates around you. Pass rushing is not an individual endeavor. A good pass rush works as a team, works as a unit, secures the pocket. Remember what Alfred Collins did so much of in college, got his hand up there, knocked the football away. That's really big too, because especially if you're double teamed at the three technique, you're not going to be winning that double team to the point where you're penetrating and getting to the quarterback all too often. So knowing when to get your hand up, knowing the depth, there's deception involved too, knowing where your teammates are so you can position yourself relative to them and constrict the pocket around the quarterback to get that pass breakup in. And Collins had 7 of them last year. That is an art in and of itself. So this is all just really, really complex stuff that we have to track in a lot of detail over the course of the next few weeks. Here's a good question. Is Russell Gage going to force his way onto the 53? He might. It's all going to depend on the receiver room status once the cutdown comes, because if the league should have its suspension if there is one, for Demarcus Robinson handed down by then. So you'll know whether or not there's a spot, right, because of a Demarcus Robinson suspension. He wouldn't count against the 53. You'll be sure about Brandon Ayuk, which I think they already are. I think he's not going to count for a spot. I think that Brandon Ayuk is going to be on that PUP list to begin the regular season. So all of a sudden, you've got two spots that you otherwise wouldn't have had. Assuming it's only those two, who do you fill them with? Well, if you've got a rookie who's knocked your socks off to the point where you feel that you can't sneak him onto the practice squad, even though he's not quite ready to play yet. So I'm thinking somebody like Isaiah Neyor might have a chance to do that if he contributes over the course of the next few weeks. He's got to show consistency, though. Maybe you have to give one of the spots to somebody like that. But where does the other spot go? Maybe, you know, don't forget Junior Bergen, too. It's a seventh round pick, so he's not guaranteed a spot, but if he's a good returner in the preseason games, you've got to give him one of those 53-man spots. I mean, that's why they use the draft pick on him, right? But if you feel that you need to raise your floor with a veteran, once that cutdown comes along, Russell Gage is the leading name of that group. Somebody that I didn't project to make the 49ers roster with my initial projection. He's still not on the projection now, but somebody who I'm keeping a very close eye on. Here's Gage. He was with the 49ers already last year on the practice squad. They already signed him to close the 2024 season. Could have given him a little bit of a head start, a little extra practice time last year. But as you can see, it's a little bit of a mess. And everybody on the left side of the dividing line, I have projected to make the team or at least be on an injury list in the building. Everybody on the right side, I'm not so sure about, could be the practice squad as well. You count the six probably in the receiver room. So if your six are Jennings, Pearsall, Watkins, Cowing, Bergen, and Neyor, and Russell Gage is the odd man out. But does Neyor impress enough to earn that spot? Does Bergen impress enough to earn that spot? Do you justify taking two rookies to fill in the spots that are open because of the unavailability of two veterans? Or do you feel that you need to take seven receivers or just kick Neyor out of this and hope to get him to the practice squad so you can have the higher floor guy in Russell Gage? Because we might not have seen Russell Gage play in a regular season game for 2 years, but the last time that he was out on the NFL team, he was a legit number three receiver. Two straight seasons for the Falcons, Gage had over 750 receiving yards. That's not easy to do. Tore his patellar tendon. That's why we haven't seen him for 2 years. But if he's back up to speed, he has the veteran know-how, the veteran guile to get the job done. And we've seen that so far in practice with him seizing the opportunities that he's been given. So it's going to be a very interesting call. It's going to depend on the spots, the exact amount that the 49ers have available to them once cutdown does roll around. And that's going to be dependent on so many other factors. So I think this is going to be a living, breathing thing over the course of training camp. 49ers are going to be back out there tomorrow. It's going to be very fun to watch. We'll see if they go pads again. They should, I would think, after the day off. But usually they'll filter in a no pad day here or there. But I think we're probably in the midst of a stretch that's fairly long with the pads on for the 49ers. There'll be practice on Thursday. There'll be practice on Friday. And there will be practice on Saturday for the 49ers. Day off on Sunday. And then back at it on Monday. Then we'll see the rest of the schedule after that. But the Broncos come in on August 7th. 8-7, Dwight Clark Day. Can we talk about the defensive tackle position? Bryce Huff praised Valdez. Does that make Anderson or Givens dispensable? Well, just because Bryce Huff praised somebody doesn't mean that they're dispensable. I'm sure that he would have nice things to say about his other teammates as well. I think Kevin Givens has actually looked good this camp. I don't think Evan Anderson has looked bad either. I think Evan Anderson was one of the pleasant surprise stories of last season. You could never have too many good quality defensive linemen. So if Sebastian Valdez, the undrafted free agent, Montana State to Washington, 1 year for the Huskies, if he ends up showing out and earning a spot on either the 53 or more likely the practice squad for the 49ers, you embrace that. And it doesn't, you know, if Kevin Givens is impressing you too, that's great, but you try to keep as many good defensive linemen in the building as possible. I think one area where the 49ers are short on paper is pass rushing from their defensive tackles. Because if you look to see what they gave up, last season or this offseason over the course of free agency. They gave up Javon Hargrave. They cut him, and they cut Malik Collins. Both of those guys were better pass rushers than run stoppers. It's really obvious that the 49ers wanted to prioritize run defense since they were so bad at it last year. So they brought in Mykel Williams. They brought in Alfred Collins. They brought in C.J. West, who are all better run defenders. However, I think with Malik Collins and with Javon Hargrave gone, they have definitely lost something in the pass rushing department. How are they going to pick up the slack? Well, how quickly is C.J. West going to develop as a pass rusher? How quickly is Alfred Collins going to develop as a pass rusher? And then, you know, your one secret weapon last year was Evan Anderson, who was quietly an above average pass rusher from the defensive tackle position. Where's Kalia Davis going to factor into this? I think that he's taken a stride. I think that he's more imposing than he has been in the past. He's fighting for a roster spot. Somebody like Sebastian Valdez is there as well. And then there's Jordan Elliott, more of a known commodity. I don't think there's as much developmental runway with Jordan Elliott. This is a veteran who's a run stopper, not much of a pass rusher. So where are the 49ers going to find that pass rushing juice at defensive tackle? You know what? Maybe the answer will eventually lie in Alfred Collins. Maybe he'll play that DeForest Buckner role after he develops to perfection for the 49ers. It's the three technique. All I would advise is do not overreact to 1, 2, 3, even 4, even 5, even 10 practices. This is hard work. This is a long process, especially for a player as immensely talented as Alfred Collins, moving from the Texas system to the 49er system. The reason that we cover this honestly, credibly every day, we go out there in the sunshine in Santa Clara and we document everything that that's happened, is so we can track this progress as gradual as it may be. All right, everybody, like the video, hit the notification bell. We'll talk to you very soon.